Well, hey there, Jonathan Dorr with you for the Not Even Remotely Weekly Podcast. I'm going to have to come up with another name for the podcast, but I try and get them out as regularly as possible. Either way, glad you're listening. It's a short one, but I want to give you some gold. You know the rule if you've been with me for a long time. We're straight into the content. No long-winded anything. So let's begin. Huge believer in learning and reading. Massive. Spoke at a business conference on the weekend, and often I hear people going, I don't read, and you hear people brag about it. Like some people are like, oh, I've only ever read one book in my life. That's cool. Like that's your gig. I get it. But if you want to grow and if you want to develop, however you consume content, you've got to learn, right? So I'm a massive reader. As a kid, I loved to read. My kids, my eldest daughter at the moment, she's still young, but she was sick the other day from school. And she just sat in her room and like read for 6 hours. So we're that kind of family, but books have been a huge companion and I learned so much. You know, when I'm flying a lot, I will devour a book on a flight. So on a return flight, I get through 2 books. I just set myself a goal, grab a pen, just drill down intensely and learn as much as I can. So huge fan of it. I really want to encourage you, if you want to grow, if you want to learn in life, get yourself around great resources and content. I spent a lot of money today hooking up with an online course in the States, not cheap. I don't want to name the figure, but a lot of money to position Karen and I to really learn from the best. So we are always learning, very much, you know, Karen as well, constantly trying to get great stuff. So I want to share with you a book I'm reading at the moment. It's from Bob Bowman. Now, Bob Bowman is the head of the USA men's swim team, and he's also the personal coach of Michael Phelps. If you don't know who Michael Phelps is, I don't know where you've been, but he's seen as the greatest Olympian of all time, 22 gold medals so far, and at the time of this recording, he's about to go to the Rio Olympics and, you know, probably pick up a few more. So this is a guy, Bob Bowman, who knows his stuff. He knows how to get the best out of people. So the book's called The Golden Rules, 10 Steps to World-Class Excellence in Your Life and Work. Now, you'd already know that if you were following me on social, right? On Instagram, on my Instagram account, and really on Snapchat now. I know many of you aren't using it yet, but many of you would be. Come and follow me on Snapchat and Instagram. Snapchat, Jonathan Doyle Co., one word. Instagram, Jonathan_Doyle.co. You can find the links on the website, but come and follow me there because books like this, I post them as I read them. So you'll quickly know what I'm reading, what I'm learning. So make sure you're following there. Facebook as well, www.fbjonathan.com. You'll take you straight to the page, like the page, and then you'll get these updates. So what am I learning from Bob? Keep it really simple. I'm about 3/4 of the way through. What I'm learning is this stuff where he talks about vision and what he calls the MP or the master plan. So again, this is a guy that knows his stuff, right? He's trained the best in the world for years. So when you read his book, you know you're not reading a nice theory from someone that's been sitting in a university office for 40 years. This is a guy out on the front. This is a guy, a practitioner. This is someone at the coalface, the cutting edge of human performance. First sort of third of the book devoted to vision, and it's just crucial. You've got to have this deep internal vision for what you want in life, what matters to you, what you want to achieve. And I can promise you, most people never get this far. They really don't. The vast majority of people are just going through their days one day after another. And if that's your gig and if that's you're happy, then stay there. But the people that I help, the people that I coach, the executives that I coach, you know, that when I speak on stage, I'm always talking to people who are hungry, who want a bit more out of life. But you can't have that until you get some sort of clarity about what you really want, why you're here. Listen to other podcasts on this website, other podcasts on purpose and understanding your purpose. But Bob Bowman, huge on that. So I want to ask you now, what is your vision for your life? What do you want to be different? What do you want to make your contribution? What do you want to leave behind? So for Bob Bowman, it goes from vision to knowing what you want, what matters, and then going to master plan. So the vision for my life as it develops and emerges is I fundamentally want to help people. I love seeing people get free of their stuff and their backgrounds and their burdens and really stepping up and growing and experiencing life and having abundance and fulfillment. That amps me. That's what I do. So I know that my job in life is to stay attuned to that deep vision. And I worry, you know, I don't worry about money and stuff anymore. You know, when I was younger, I used to kind of really be fixated, but now it's like, if I stay in the vision, everything else takes care of itself. And it's the same for you. If you get into your vision, it's not unicorns and pixie dust and everything's perfect, but it is a sense of you know, stuff will begin to take care of itself. So get your vision clear. What do you really want? From the vision, we go to Bob Bowman's MP, Master Plan. And it's a really good section of the book just on goals. And I don't know how to tell this to you. Like, we hear so much about goals. And I, for so many years, have heard so much about goals. But I'm still uncovering the magic of just knowing what you want and putting a plan under it with steps that you follow. You'd think that I would know this because I teach it. But it's weird what I'm experiencing at the moment. It's this deeper awareness of just how crucial this goal stuff is. About, you know, I've just started using some software called Goals on Track. So shout out to Harry Chi. Harry, good software. Using Goals on Track, you could use OmniFocus, you could use Evernote. But, you know, you can use a journal, a pen, just to put down the steps. You know, we do this product next year. We do it every year. Early in the year, 25,000 copies of this empowerment magazine goes out. And I want to lift the standard this year. I want to, you know, lift the circulation. So I'm using Goals on Track, and I've mapped out every single step, individual phone calls. And it's amazing the freedom you get when you suddenly begin to put actionable steps under a master plan leading, you know, out of a vision. So I want to really encourage you, don't get off this podcast and just go, yeah, blah, blah, set goals. Really get down deep into it, you know, and stay close to the work that I'm putting out, because I'll be doing more and more goal stuff in the coming months. But just get the software, you know, get Goals on Track, get OmniFocus, get Evernote, get a pen and paper, and get your vision on paper. And then from the vision, get the master plan. How are you going to do it? What are the benchmarks? What resources do you need? Who are the people? You know, I'll just grab my free resource. Go to jonathandoyle.co/BTG. Just /BTG. That is totally free resource that will just give you everything you need to build these steps, right? So grab that. It's free, for crying out loud. Just go and get it and use it. So I recommend that book to you, The Golden Rules by Bob Bowman. And now I want to move on to some questions. I've had some really cool visitor questions. Kay, shout out to you. Keep you anonymous, apart from your first name, but thank you for your message on Facebook and for sharing your journey. Really appreciated that. One of Kay's questions was, I said to her, you know, what are your specific questions? And she wanted to know when is the right time to quit? Or is there a time when you should quit on something you've been chasing, you know, for a long time? And I said, yes. And people go, really? And I go, yeah. Like, people think that because I'm, you know, passionate about this stuff, that I just think you just keep going until you get a result. And I go, yes, most of the time that's true. But I want to give you two criteria of when you can quit on a goal or something you're trying to achieve. There are two criteria. Number one, if it is genuinely negatively affecting your health and well-being. Okay? This doesn't mean that you had to stay up late and you're a bit tired because you did some extra work, or that you're putting in a few months of really hard study or work or something, right? That's different. When you are really running your system down for a long period of time and you're getting unwell and you're really stressed out and you're not eating properly and you're not getting any exercise, once that stuff starts to happen and your well-being is really affected, then that's the time to quit. Anything that truly harms your well-being isn't a goal worth pursuing. Now, I know there's a real fine line here. You've got to use some real intelligence. The difference between suffering for something important and pushing yourself is different to harming yourself. They're different things. They can look kind of the same sometimes. They can be confusing, but I promise you that if you get that balance right between, you know, knowing when to push and stretch yourself and actually harming yourself. So that's a great time to quit. I wish I could give you some more clarity on it. It's a fine line, but you'll know it. It's a difference between me feeling, you know, I do 2 hours on the bike in the morning and I work all day and I've got kids, and I get the kids to bed and then I, you know, tuck them in and sing to them and read them stories. And it comes to like 8 or 9 o'clock at night and I'm like, trash, I'm so tired because of the exercise and, you know, at 4 a.m., but I can still find, I can push myself an extra hour or two if I have to. I can get a little bit extra done. If I'm connected to the vision, if I have the master plan, if I know the goals, that's different to me like hating what I do and driving myself and not sleeping and not exercising. So if the balance is in general still in place and you're still, relationships are okay and exercise okay, then keep going. But if you're harming your well-being, stop. And I just alluded to the other criteria. I said there were two. The other one is if what you're pursuing is harming your most important relationships. Okay, this doesn't mean that you have to work a bit hard again and you don't see people quite as much. But if you are really not there for your family, if you're really just not contributing at all to those crucial core relationships, then it's time to quit. Okay, nothing is worth your family. Nothing is worth your marriage. Nothing is worth your intimate relationships. Nothing is worth the people you love and care about or your deepest friendships. Nothing. Okay? Because at the end of your life, you won't lie on your deathbed thinking, I wish I'd done more work. You'll be lying on your deathbed thinking about the crucial relationships that made it up. So I hope that's helpful. Two criteria. If it's harming you, or if it's harming your closest relationships. Those are the two criteria which I would say to people, reevaluate your goal. I mean, and it might just mean you need to change the time frames, right? You can be flexible here. You don't have to go too black and white and quit completely. You might just change your time frames. And sometimes you've got to be accepting and patient. You've just got to accept that the universe is the way it is, and sometimes stuff just takes time. But you're smart, right? You'll figure this out. But usually if you go to the level of intuition, you know, if you hate what you're doing, you hate it and it's making you feel miserable, it's hard to, you know you're in, I would question you're in the right place. See, even when I'm pushing, I'm hustling, I'm traveling, I'm tired, I still kind of know that I'm doing the right stuff. So there's some of the marks and indicators, okay? I hope they're helpful. Now, the next question I got was, got an interesting one on Snapchat, you know, so hit me up on Snapchat, Jonathan Dorco, if you've got a question. Just add me as a friend, Jonathan Dorco, and then hit me with a snap and a question. Because this question, the person said I had a lot of trouble getting to sleep. And I said, hey, can you help me? And I go, yes, I can. I want to give you some tips on getting to sleep. Because over the years, especially with young kids, I've become a bit of an expert on that. Give you a couple of things. Number one, if you've got a good general routine around exercise, diet, and lifestyle, sleep will work well. Okay, so I push myself physically so that at the end of the day, I am tired. Okay, so let me give you some basics. Make sure you're getting enough exercise. You want your body to be physiologically tired at the end of the day. Part of what you've got to do to get great sleep is to trick your body and give it some indicators, give it some signals. The experts tell us that if you begin to signal to your body that time for sleep is coming, it comes to the party. So, well, here's what a lot of people are doing these days. They're watching Netflix or violent TV, or they're gaming, or they're on the internet, and then, you know, then they're on their phone in bed, and then they sort of try to go to sleep. Trust me, screen time, the lights, the way it affects our brains from screens makes it harder to get to sleep. One French study said your brain needs 2 hours after you've last seen a screen to get back to its normal sort of brain electrical activity rate. So just really what you want to do is begin to signal to your body. Get off screens about an hour or so before you go to sleep. I read so much, but mostly business books and personal development stuff. But in bed, always great novels, really great biographies, interesting biographies, great, you know, fiction. So that when you jump into bed, there's something you enjoy reading and it calms you down. Try and make sure your bedroom is like a calm, relaxing place. So no TVs in there, no screens in there, no laptops in bed. You know, just a calm, like our room at home is beautiful. Karen's done an amazing job. It's the most beautiful room. And we have this ceiling fan. It's really nice. And there's just gentle breeze. And it's like really calm, peaceful room. So at the end of the day, when, you know, I get to bed, it's really quite a beautiful place. And my body understands that it's time to sleep. So set that game up to win, right? Give your body indications. No caffeine and stuff, you know, 2 or 3 hours at least. Some people say no caffeine after lunchtime. So you don't want any caffeine in your system as you get ready for bed. And some people go, oh, it doesn't matter, I drink coffee and I can still go to sleep. Yes, you may be asleep, but it is affecting your brain activity. So you want that stuff out of your system. So there's a few things, right? The other one is what's called hyperintention, which people usually haven't heard of, which is really cool. Hyperintention comes from Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. And he learned this when he was a psychiatrist, and he'd have clients with strange phobias and problems. And they'd like, one person used to sweat when they were nervous. They'd perspire and sweat in public and get really nervous and really perspire and sweat massively. And they were so embarrassed about it and hung up about it. So he said to them, okay, next time you go out, I want you to try as hard as you can to just sweat everywhere. And they looked at him like he was crazy. And he said, no, I want you to go there and try as hard as you can. As soon as you get there, try and sweat as much as you can. And he called that hyper-intention. So you take your intention, which is to sweat, and you make it really intense, hyper-intention. And he said that as soon as people tried to do the thing they were afraid of, he noticed that it would stop. It's called hyper-intention. So what I learned with sleep is if those nights when I'm a bit stressed and I wake up at, say, you know, 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., you know how you lie there and you try to go back to sleep and your eyes are closed and you start to stress and you ruminate and you think about all this stuff? What I do is I keep my eyes wide open, stare at the ceiling, and I try and stay awake. You know, just try and stay awake. And it's weird. It doesn't always work, but a lot of the time, if I try and deliberately stay awake, I fall asleep. It's weird. So hyperintention can be another strategy. So I hope that's useful for people. Last thing in this relatively short podcast is really cool. This is a personal little thing for me. I do a lot of stuff, right? A lot of motivational, personal development stuff. I teach a lot of principles. I write books. I speak on stage. I coach people individually. I do all this stuff. But I often wonder if people think, does it work? And I got a little story to tell you that it does work. And I want you to tell you that if you follow what I teach or what other people in this space teach and you put into practice, you can get amazing results. I want to share a personal one with you from just a few weeks back. About 2 months ago, I was speaking overseas, and this was a major corporate event. It was a big event, hundreds of people, big business. And I was nervous. Yes, I've spoken to hundreds of thousands of people, but this was a big one. And this time I knew that what I was going to do, this was a company in the finance area, and it was a big deal for me. So I'm about to walk on stage, but in the lead up to it, I'd been quite stressed out, unusually stressed for me. And I want to tell you, I was really nervous. Not so much as I walked on stage, but definitely in the days leading up. And it was all that standard stuff that we all deal with. What if I choke? What if I get this wrong? What if I don't say the right things? What if I haven't read the audience right? There was a lot of fear. But then if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see the banner where it says, you know, my key saying is the magic is always on the other side of fear. The magic is always on the other side of fear. So here I am, afraid, really quite afraid of getting this wrong and not doing a great job. But I get up and I give it 200% and I gave my best. And as soon as the talk finishes, the CEO of this big finance corporation comes up to me and asks me to personally coach them. Straight up, like as soon as I finished, people are clapping, people are going to the break. He walks up and says, "Hi, you know, I'm David. I'm the founder of the company. Blah blah blah. I'd like you to coach me personally once a week." Now, that's a big deal, and the only reason I'm sharing it is not to brag, because the people that know me well, I'm not really that excited. I don't ever want to brag or seem like I've got it all together, because I don't. But to go from being afraid, facing that fear, not denying it, but really experiencing it, and then doing what I was afraid of, the magic happened on the other side of it. So I want to encourage you that wherever you're afraid, whatever you're afraid of, that the breakthrough for you will always be in facing up to it and doing what you think you can't do. I'm sorry that I keep saying people, I apologize. That's how the universe is run. It works that way. What you're afraid of doing is the thing that you most of the time have to do. And if you do that thing, you grow. And if none of you grow, but you become someone and things happen, like me getting, you know, this amazing opportunity to work with, a major figure in business. So be encouraged that whatever you're afraid of, the magic's there. So I hope that's useful. I'll try and post another link under here to the videos that I did recently at another conference. So much good stuff there. I hope it's useful. Get in touch with me. Please follow me on Snapchat at JonathanDoyleCo, at Instagram at Jonathan_Doyle.co, Facebook fbjonathan.com. Reach out to me, post a comment. But the best thing you can do for me is to go to iTunes and find the weekly podcast with Jonathan Doyle. Leave me a review. I would love that. It really helps if you could leave a review. Post a comment here, or just grab this URL and share it with people. If you're in business, education, wherever you are, if you'd like me to come and speak live and just shape a particular message for your group, your church, your business, your school, your staff, if you want to work with me one-on-one, I'm pretty limited to how many people I can work with, because it's not easy for me to, you know, the demand is really big. But get in touch if you're interested in personal coaching, because if I can fit it in, we'll try and find a way. So, hope that's useful. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Weekly Podcast, and I'm going to speak with you again very soon.